Saga Egmont presents Art in Nature by Tove Jansson, translated from the Swedish by Thomas Thiel, and read by me, Sophie Winkleman. Art in Nature. The summer exhibition grew very quiet when it closed in the evening and the last visitors went away. A little later, boat after boat moved off from the beach and made its way back to the village on the other side of the lake. The only member of staff who stayed overnight was the caretaker. He slept in the sauna down below the great lawn where the sculptures were set out among the trees. He was very old and had a bad back, but it had been hard to find someone who enjoyed the long, lonely evenings, and they had to have a night caretaker because of the insurance. It was a large exhibition, entitled Art in Nature. Every morning the caretaker unlocked the gates and people streamed into the park. They came in cars and buses from all directions, from the interior and from the capital. They brought their children and made an outing of it. They went swimming among the water lilies and drank coffee and wandered among the birches. The children rode the swings and had their pictures taken atop the big bronze horse. More and more people wanted to see Art in Nature. The caretaker was very proud of the exhibition. All day he sat in the huge glass box for painting and graphic arts, and watched hundreds of feet go by. Because of his back, he couldn't see much of their faces, but he observed their feet and made a game of figuring out who they belonged to, what the rest of the person looked like. Sometimes he'd stretch his neck and take a look to see if he'd been right, and often he was. Mostly they were women in sandals, and he could see from their toes that they weren't all that young. Almost all the feet moved respectfully. If they were with a guide, they'd stand still for a while, all turned in the same direction, and then they'd change direction all at the same time to look at something else. The lonely feet were uncertain in the beginning, then they'd move slowly at an angle, stop, stand with legs crossed, turn around, and sometimes they'd lift one foot and scratch with it because there were lots of mosquitoes. Then they'd move on, walking rather quickly along the last wall. The caretaker saw lots of feet with sturdy shoes. They'd often stand quite still, then walk along without pausing, then stand still again for quite a long time. He never looked to see what old shoes looked like higher up. Old people's shoes pointed outward, young people's inward, and children ran parallel. All of it amused him. One day, two old shoes and a cane stopped beside him. He could see that she was very tired.
"Do you know," she asked, "do you know what number 34 is supposed to be? It looks like a package wrapped with string. Are we supposed to open it or what?"
"I don't think so," the caretaker said. "The guide said it was a foreigner who started doing this kind of art and then kept on, wrapping sculptures and then finally a whole mountain, maybe in Arizona."
"Is there a chair?" the old woman asked. "This is such a big exhibition."
He made room for her on the bench beside him and they sat next to each other for a while.
"What I admire," she said, "is that they come up with so many ideas and then they manage to carry them out and believe so strongly in what they do. I'll come back another day and look at the sculpture. You can't take in an exhibition like this one all at once. You have to take it very slowly."
The caretaker said that he liked the sculptures best. They grew up out of the grass, huge dark monuments in smooth, incomprehensible formlessness, or entangled convulsions, challenging and disturbing. They stood everywhere among the birches as if they'd sprung up from the soil, and when the summer night arrived and the mist drifted in from the lake, they were as beautiful as granite crags or withered trees. Each evening, he would close the gates and continue along the shoreline to put out the fire in the sausage grill and see to it that everything was as it should be. He'd replace the moss that children had pulled off the big rocks, and he'd collect the coins from the wishing well and lay them out on a newspaper to dry. He'd check to make sure none of the ashtrays were burning, then empty them carefully into the open sculptural oven. The June nights were quiet and the lake motionless, with a mirror image beneath each little island. The guard loved his repeated evening strolls, closing for the night. At the gate there was a smell of hay and fertilizer from the farms all around. Along the shore was the smell of mud and grass, then the sauna with its smell of wet soot, and when he walked by the sculptures made of plaster, he could smell tar. All of them were impregnated with tar to protect them from the rain. He'd helped to paint them himself,